This is the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2021, Episode 8. All right. I promise we're not going to get as drunk as we did last week. Dr. Rob, a lot of comments on our drinking, and people were impressed with our drinking yesterday, or last week, because they knew it came like in the morning, because we announced we were drinking in the morning, and people were like, I got more like, dude, how you feeling? I felt great. I did take a nap on Sunday, though.
Oh, I did, too.
I was gonna text you, because we drank all that craft beer, and it gave me some of the stinkiest farts I've ever had, man. And my wife was going to kill me. I was dropping ass like there was no tomorrow. And it was, she wouldn't even come in the room for like hours.
See, I thought that was only the thing that like Bush Light
oh, no.
level beer does
oh, no.
to people.
So oh, no.
I drink craft beer and it's like, I feel way better. I don't get hangovers from that stuff.
No, I was like, I could feel like the yeast bubbling and gurgling in my stomach. And it was just, I had to, as I told my wife, I had to release the pressure. And she's like, yeah, whatever. So I just, you know, it was just my way to keep her out of the room. But we are drinking this week. And we are going to New Glarus, Wisconsin. We're not drinking the Spotted Cow. We're going with, in courtesy of Steve Swanstrom, president and CEO of Centris Federal Credit Union, we are going with Serendipity. And this is, we've had this before, but I cannot recommend this enough. This is a sour that to me is just delectable.
It's good. It's not one of those real vinegary sours. When you get some of those sours, it's almost like a hard kombucha.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't that. This is not that sour. I mean, it is, but.
Now, we started with a four-pack because Rob's like, only give me two because that's all I'm having. Because he's had a long day. He had to run up to Okoboji. And
had to do the Camp Foster pickup.
Yeah, so you did the Camp Foster pickup. And did you stop in Lamar's on your way back, go to the ice cream capital of the world to get some Wells Blue Bunny?
I did, and I did kind of the, like as you're coming out of Okoboji, I did the kind of the Spencer Denison.
Oh, you took under, Highway 75.
Yeah, Underwood route. Yeah. 71.
71? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so
or I'm thinking 59 comes down through. Denison.
It's like 71 to 59.
Yeah.
And then 59 to I-80, and then I-80 through Underwood.
Wow.
Or past Underwood, rather.
I'm telling you, there is a great Mexican restaurant in Underwood called Garcia's, and you know I go there a lot.
And I still haven't made it there. I thought about, like, maybe we should plan on stopping there for lunch, but by the time we got to Denison, we were both starving, so we ended up with, like, some Casey's pizza.
I went there twice last week alone. So if you guys are close, I know a lot of people don't like venturing onto the Iowa side of the river, but I know most of you do anyway to place your bets at either Ameristar, Harris, or
which
the
is
Horseshoe.
Right off of I-80.
Yes.
And it takes minutes to get
yes.
to Underwood.
I know a lot of you guys drive over the river, you turn that app on, you make your bets, and then you drive back because, well, you can sports gamble in the state of Iowa, which is really cool. And I encourage you to use Betfred Sports, by the way. Just go to betfredsports.com. You can set up an account, drive over across the river, or you don't even have to drive the river. Just drive down Abbott Drive, because at one point you're in Iowa, and it's geotagged. And I had to park in the strip club one time to place bets, Rob.
Are you a better?
Well, here's the deal. I am a spokesperson for Betfred Sports on my radio show. So they provide me money to bet with. I get promo cash. And
nice.
if I win, I get to keep the real cash. If I lose, I just ask for more promo cash. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, this sounds like something that would lead to a severe
addiction.
Gambling addiction.
But here's the deal. I don't really have an addictive personality, right? So when I smoked cigarettes back in the early 2000s, my wife said it's time to quit. I quit like that. I don't really like to gamble. I think it's kind of fun to play it every now and then. And if there's something I like, I do it. But I don't. I'll do a parlay every now and then. But they geotag that, right? Because you have to physically be in the state of Iowa to place that bet. So I'm like, I'm going to check this geotag out.
You've got to agree with me when I say that's just the most ridiculous goddamn thing ever.
It's stupid. It's beyond stupid. But I wanted to see if the geotag works. So the Cerise, which is the strip club, Or is it Ceres? No, it's not Ceres anymore. It's I forget what it's called. Oh, the Spearmint Rhino. It was Ceres. Then it was then it's the Spearmint Rhino. So the Spearmint Rhino.
All
is just,
I know is I drive past it.
Is the strip
on
club
my way to the airport
on Abbott Drive? It. Half the club is in Iowa. Half the club is in Nebraska.
Wait, for real?
No shit. I'm not kidding you. They're, the border goes right through the middle of the stage. So one day a girl's on a pole in Iowa. Another day she's on a pole in Nebraska.
How do you know this?
Because a friend of mine used to own it. So I'm not going to name names.
No, is this when it was the Rhino or the other?
When it was Ceres. So I park on the Iowa side of the parking lot and damn it.
So you're literally yards from Nebraska.
And it knew I was in the state of Iowa, and it let me place a bet.
So the app will not let you actually place the bet until you are in a state where it's legal.
No. You have to do it where Betfred has a casino. So Betfred's casino or sportsbook is in Larchwood, which you were up by there because Larchwood's up by Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sportsbook. So they actually have a sports book in Iowa, so you can then place a bet there. So I forget who, like Harrah's, I think uses Caesars. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So, but it's got to be some place where
they have to have a
has an actual location.
Yeah, they got to have a book. So it's quite interesting.
But it's got to be within the state boundaries of where they've got.
Yes.
That.
So they have one in Colorado right now, Vegas, I believe, Nevada, Iowa. And there's like one other. And they're expanding all over the place.
There's not a lot of things I disagree with Coach Tom on, but this is one of them.
Really? You disagree with him?
I disagree with him. I you know, it's people are going to bet regardless. I mean, there's 100.
Hell, I believe the current Nebraska head coach used to place a bet every now and then.
Yeah, there is 100 workarounds in order to do it. And I mean, and do it legally. And if you want to gamble, you're going to do it. I don't think legalizing it in the state of Nebraska, you're going to see this catastrophic increase in the number of gamblers.
Iowa did $1.4 billion in bets last year.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there this massive gambling addiction issue in the state of Iowa right now?
I think there's always addiction issues. I think where it really gets you is that, you know, the bankruptcies come in and stuff like that. But I don't think
to Iowa.
No,
that's my point.
No, it's not unique to Iowa. And I would say this: you have better odds placing a bet on a football game than you do playing the lottery. Or if you're in Nebraska, and let's see how hypocritical it is. Everybody loves to play Keno. Keno's a shit game, man. Keno is a bad game, bad odds.
Well, and that's the thing. You've got legal gambling in Nebraska.
Yes. Horse racing?
Yeah.
Keno? Lottery?
Why is horse racing and Keno legal, but sports betting is not?
I don't have any idea. It was funny because
Milt Tenneper used to play Keno. He'd always bet the O-line numbers.
So, you know, Jamie Pollard in Iowa State, Gary Barta in Iowa, they were all self-righteous right before they started. They were like, you know, this is going to hurt the integrity of the game. It's going to turn to, hey, it doesn't. It's too regulated now to really have you need legalized gambling, because unauthorized gambling is where the shadiness comes in. That's where people get to people. Right now, it's so regulated. It goes through Las Vegas. It's perfect. And if anything's looks weird, they shut it down quickly. If you're going through your regular Southside bookie, that doesn't happen, right? I mean, that's why legalized sports gambling to me is much better than illegal sports gambling.
Well, and I guess it's also one of those things when you talk about what was the number you threw out there about how much revenue Iowa
took? Well, $1.3 billion, I think.
I mean, when I sit there and I think about that, I mean, that's a lot of revenue pouring back into the Nebraska coffers that would be nice to have.
Exactly. Because for years, Nebraskans have been driving across the river to go to Harrah's, to go to the Horseshoe, to go to Ameristar, and gamble. You walk through any one of those casinos parking lots, and 90% of the cars were Nebraska cars.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's not like it's stopping Nebraskans from getting there.
Now, you're kind of a tight ass. Are you a gambler?
I'm not.
Either am I. I mean,
honestly, it's just there's stuff I will spend my money on. I just don't gamble. I mean, yeah. Last year I remember one of my partners at work was like, I don't even remember what football game it was, but Ah, it was the, you know what? It was the Ohio State-Alabama game. It's a national title game. And all of a sudden, he sends a text and he's like, hey, everybody, place your bets. We're going to put $20 on this winner takes a pot. And it was one of those like, God, I don't even want to bet that.
Yeah. I don't like parting with money. Now, my son, I don't think he gambles as much, but he was the bookie at Creighton Prep. So, and I hope he doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but I walk in one day.
Are they going to withdraw?
Yeah, it's been 4 years now, but you know, I walk in one day, I see this notebook. I'm like, what are these numbers? What dollar? Oh, my son's a bookie. So that's.
And I'd be the first to tell you, I know that happens everywhere because yes. I know there's kids at my kids' schools that have been busted over the years for. Kind of serving in the same role.
But, so I watched a lot of my friends get in trouble who, hell, when I was at the TV station, I had coworkers that got themselves into major gambling debts. And you realize, you got a little in over your head and they're going to come break your legs.
But that's one of those things where I think the regulation of it, it probably reduces a lot of that. I would think.
Absolutely it does, right? And it's tied to your bank account. So if you don't have the money, you don't get a bet. So and before, you would have a bookie and say, oh, I got you. You're good for it. And all of a sudden, you're so far upside down, you can't get out of it. And then you got to go to, I need a loan today at 26.5%. You know, and that's why I like it a lot better than what it is right now. Hey, we want to welcome everybody who found the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy on All Huskers Fan Nation. It's a division of Sports Illustrated. And Rob, David Max from Husker Max called me last week after our SEC conversation and goes, hey, I run all the content for Fan Nation on Sports Illustrated. Do you mind if I put your podcast on Sports Illustrated? I'm like, hell no.
You're like, why, thank you yes. very much.
So, and that's the thing about David Max and Joe Hudson, the guys at Husker Max, who've been so supportive because they don't have to share our podcast. I reached out to him one time and said, hey, Rob and I just pushed this content out there. We're not asking for anything in return. If you could just share it with everybody else, it'd be great. We'd like people to listen to us. And boy, you get drunk every now and then, and people sure tune in to listen. And they listened a lot last week. So thanks for everybody who's finding us on Fan Nation, a division of Sports Illustrated. And thank you to David Max and Joe Hudson for helping out. Last week when we recorded, we said when we record again, it's going to be completely different. And things have changed again. It's now official. The SEC gave an invitation to Oklahoma and Texas, a unanimous vote, by the way. And we'll get into that.
Some of those schools back down.
Well, and we'll get into that, right? And we're going to get into why it doesn't look good for any other of the Big 12 schools to maybe even join the Big 10. But then Oklahoma and Texas are not accepted the invitation, and they say they'll join on June 1st, 2025. If I'm a betting man, if I could bet a future on this, it's not going to take that long. Would you agree with that?
I think 2023 at the latest. It would not surprise me if they have a schedule set up for 2022, actually, at this point.
Well, it'll be interesting because it's posturing now. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN saying ESPN, their broadcast partner, was in collusion to help break up the Big 12. The ESPN counters with, your allegation is baseless and without merit. And so what we have now is time for the lawyers to get involved. How much right now the exit fee is going to be $80 million, right around $80 million per school. And they would still have to give up the grant of rights, which goes through 2025. So something's got to give there, right? You kind of got to reach a somewhat of a settlement if you want this. Or the Big 12 schools could say, you know what, we're not going to fight it, but we're not going to let you out. You just got to play till 2025. But that's going to be really weird, really weird.
That's going to be the weirdest thing ever. And I don't see that happening. Schools don't like hanging out in bad marriages and I think they cut loose and they figure out some way. Like I said, I don't know how exactly. I don't know what the dollars and cents are going to be, but they'll figure out a way to kind of break off and finalize this a lot quicker than 2025.
Well, it's interesting because and I still think what we're talking about today is going to be completely different, maybe not next week, but in a month, because I still think there's something else coming down the road. Florida State has postured itself saying, we got to do what's best for Florida State. Clemson hasn't exactly said, no, we wouldn't go to the SEC. I still think there is a formation of a 20-team super conference coming with the SEC here. Somewhere.
Well, and at the same time, too, there's been a lot of talk about, well, primarily Ohio State, Michigan a little bit, but primarily Ohio State and what their plans are going forward. And then we talked a lot last week, and then it was all over Twitter about the Big Ten potentially going to the Pac-12 and taking basically the top half dozen teams out of the Pac-12 and moving forward with them. And that just kind of gone radio silent, which – on one hand, it would make you could draw the conclusion that, like, well, nothing's happening there. When I hear this much silence, nobody's denying anything. And there's a lot of chit-chat about it. So when I hear that much quiet, it makes me think there's somebody's talking and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes deal-making going on right now. So
yeah, I don't disagree with you. The interesting part was – they believe with Texas and Oklahoma now as part of the SEC, the SEC will generate per year revenue $1.3 billion, which is the exact same amount the NCAA does on a yearly basis. Let me repeat that number, okay? Let me repeat that again, because you even looked at me and went, oh, my God. You had to think. I watched the smartest man I know
to
think.
There's a brain stutter there.
And this is why Texas A&M backed down. This is exactly why everybody voted unanimously, because they were throwing a fit, and then they showed them the ledger. They showed them the spreadsheet, and they went, oh, they are believing now the SEC will generate $1.3 billion a year in revenue, equal to what the NCAA does as a whole. Think about that.
That's mind-blowing.
It really is.
Which it is, and I mean, when you look at that, you know, who is it? A&M and Missouri were kind of the two schools that were probably the most vocal about this.
Mm-hmm.
Which at some point in there, I have trouble believing that the SEC didn't go to those schools and basically say, kind of like what you had said, hey, if you want to be part of this, if you want to have that protection, if you want to have that kind of financial stability going forward, you better get in line and you better get in line quickly.
Because they're saying now, because the Big Ten's the highest paying out conference at right now, like $54 million. With Texas and Oklahoma, the SEC could go up to $70 million per school.
That's
per
amazing. That's almost a 50% increase over what the Big Ten is currently doing right now.
Yes.
Here's a question for you. Let's say the Big Ten all of a sudden, week and a half from now, announces that they have formally invited USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, let's say Colorado and Arizona to join. Those are the schools that I keep hearing getting mentioned. And those schools, a week and a half later, vote that they're accepting by such and such date, or accepting and joining by such and such date, whether that's 2022, 2024, whatever.
You drew a blank.
Well, no, my question is does the Big Ten, do they equal those numbers
I think they would get close, because then you really have two super conferences. And I think you take the rest of the Pac-12 and the rest of the Big 12 and you throw it together. I don't know if that would be a Power 5 conference. I really don't. You could have, because then the ACC starts to have scramble and say, what do we do? I think West Virginia might end up in the ACC. But the Big Ten has to get off this AAU kick. It has to get rid of its stupid academic kick. It needs to do what's best for the Big Ten as far as numbers.
But outside of those Pac-12 schools we're talking about, who in that group is that I just mentioned is not an AAU school?
I don't know.
Because I actually thought all six of those were AAU, which, you know, I actually thought out of those schools – and all of them make sense. You got Washington down to UCLA, USC. Yeah. That wraps up your West Coast television and streaming markets. You get Colorado in there. That takes care of your Denver market. So you get one of the bigger Midwestern state television markets. And then about the only one that's left is Phoenix, which I kept thinking, well, surely you'd want Arizona State. And kind of the scuttlebutt I kept hearing from a lot of people kept coming back to, nah, it's going to be Arizona. And I was always like, well, why not Arizona State? That seems like it would be, at least from a fan following standpoint, a branding standpoint, Arizona State would be better. And everybody keeps going back to Arizona. And I was told it was because they were an AAU school.
I get it with the research. But Nebraska was not an AAU school when it went to the Big Ten. Remember that.
Yeah, but they had been.
Are they back to it? Are they back in it yet?
I don't think officially.
Okay.
But again, it was kind of a... It was kind of a bullshit deal because a lot of the AAU, a lot of the logic that was used to bump Nebraska out of the AAU came from the fact that a large portion of their grant money that is used to determine your AAU eligibility was ag research money that for some reason was discounted by the AAU. Mm. And at the same time, most schools, as long as they're medical schools on the same campus or at least within the same city, they'll include your medical school's grant money as well. All those research dollars as well would be counted towards AAU eligibility. And Nebraska's medical center, even though it's University of Nebraska, it's just that it's a separate campus in Omaha. They discounted that grant money as well, and that's what they used as sort of a loophole to boot Nebraska out.
Interesting. Now, a lot of people may be wondering, well, what about Kansas? What about Iowa State? That makes much more sense when it comes to geography, this whole thing. This is an interesting statistic, and this is why I'm going to let everybody know, and my Iowa State friends hate when I point this out. If you want to crack me another one, I'll take that.
I'm reaching for a beer.
These numbers are freaking astonishing. Because I want you to pay attention here. According to The Athletic, and we're big fans of The Athletic. All right,
Mitch.
Mitch Sherman writes for The Athletic. The Athletic pulled TV ratings from Sports Media Watch. The 22 Oklahoma regular season games in 2018-2019, averaged 3.76 million viewers on ABC, Fox, ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
3.76 million. That's for Oklahoma.
The 18 Texas games on those channels averaged 3.2 million. Okay? The other 59 games that included the remaining 8 Big 12 teams, not OU or UT, averaged 886,000 viewers.
I'm laughing because I read this article as well. So
that tells you why nobody else is getting invited.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And Iowa State fans hate that. Kansas fans hate that. Kansas State fans hate that. But that's the truth. And what Texas is saying, they want to play in a big game. I don't think Texas and Oklahoma, they care about winning national titles. Of course they do. But they're going to be playing in a big game every single week in big stadiums.
And people are going to watch.
And people are going to watch.
And they're going to stream those games. It's a great, you know, those are some amazing numbers because it highlights that fact. When you look at those markets, when you look at those viewers, and you look at the state of Iowa, let's take Iowa State.
Yep.
From a TV market standpoint, the Big Ten already has that state locked in.
Yep.
They don't need to worry about Iowa State. Adding another team doesn't add anything. They can add the entire state of Kansas, and the numbers you just gave right there show that absolutely doesn't matter at all.
Zero.
You can pull in the entire state of Kansas. You could add Kansas and K-State. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. I mean, from a number standpoint, which again, this is something I keep going back to with Nebraska. One of the things we've talked about on the show pretty frequently as well as Nebraska. Let's say they go with just one giant super conference. We went through kind of a – we went through all the Power Five yep. conferences, did the counting last week. Does Nebraska get in or do they not? When you look at a value standpoint for all of these teams and you look at a school like Nebraska, you have a school that still hangs out in the top 20 in terms of their overall value when you look at – attendance, media, brand recognition, et cetera. I mean, we had somebody actually had tweeted a recent accounting of that.
I will actually bring it up. It was from, they did it a couple of years ago in Forbes. All right. Or was it the Wall Street Journal? Give me 1 second and I will find it. But it's an interesting read when it comes to the most valuable, football programs, and Texas was by far number one. It wasn't even close. Ohio State was like number two. Nebraska was 15. Iowa was 19, Rob. I mean, there were – I mean, and that's why Iowa has value.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got that state locked down, but they've got a lot of fans around the country.
So
as much as we don't like that and they've got bad corn. But.
Well, no, I love it and they don't have bad corn, but that's where you and I will agree to disagree.
Here we go.
Texas is the number one value. This goes back to 2018. Ohio State was number two. Alabama, number three. Michigan, number four. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. Michigan was number four, Notre Dame five, Georgia six, Oklahoma seven, Auburn eight, LSU nine, Tennessee number 10. I mean, that's Big Ten, SEC, and Notre Dame.
Which, again, you can look at Tennessee, and I think a lot of people would look at that and say, well, they're not relevant.
It's not about relevance.
It's about value. It's about dollars.
Yes.
It's about TV markets.
Well, and that's what Iowa State fans are going, hey, this is – This is my Hawkeye fandom coming out, picking on Iowa State a little bit. Iowa State,
but you like Iowa State.
I do. My wife went to Iowa State. I don't hate Iowa State, but you have people that are going, well, Iowa State's a top 10 program. No, it's not. You may be ranked in the top 10 this year, but that's the first time you've ever been ranked in the top 10. You can't call yourself a top 10 program, can you?
Well, in the world of what have you done for me lately, yeah. I suppose. I mean, it's not like Nebraska fans are going to look at Iowa State and go, man, I'd like to be where Iowa State's right now.
I mean,
at least in terms of winning.
I mean, believe it or not, Kansas State is valued at number 29. Oklahoma State at 30. Mississippi, Ole Miss is at number 22. And they're the smallest SEC school. It's a clear numbers game. It's a value game. It is a money game.
So this is one that got shared with us on.
And I was just doing the Wall Street Journal from 2018.
Yeah. So this is one that actually came up this month. Medium.com, which I don't subscribe to them.
Is that real news or fake news?
Oh, I'm sure it's fake news. Okay. But no, I mean it's a news. Venue, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, they took a look at what they would consider the college football teams that are most valuable, and they did kind of an interesting breakdown of it. So in terms of what they did, they used data from College Football News to calculate 5-year attendance average for every FBS school after the 2019 season. They went through Nate Silver to calculate the number of fans of each college football team using market population and survey data. They used the Wall Street Journal data that you just cited, although it was data that the Wall Street Journal calculated after the 2019 season. So it's basically a year and a half, 2-year-old data. So that's
but there was no real reason. It can even count the 2020 season?
Not really.
Yeah.
That's a wash.
Yeah.
And then they did social media, basically like a social media breakdown, essentially at how many individual fans follow each team collectively on social media. And they used those to come up with a ranking of the top. How many did they do? They did all 64 Power 5 conference teams, and then they did eight programs that are most popularly being discussed as a Big 12 expansion candidate should the Big 12 try and essentially retain itself as an entity. And what they used were Boise, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis, SMU, Central Florida, and South Florida. Going through it kind of quickly here because there's one team I want to get to, and it kind of comes pretty close to mirroring the Wall Street Journal, because I think that one category, that what is the actual monetary market value of these teams, which if you look at that, everybody's going to – the next question that's going to come is, well, how do you put a value on a college football team? They do it all the time on pro teams. So they do a constant breakdown of NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, et cetera. It's not that hard to do if you've got the formula and they already do it. So number one, Ohio State. Two, Michigan, Alabama, Texas. So Texas is fourth in this one. Penn State, Notre Dame, LSU, Georgia, Auburn, A&M is number 10. Number 11 is Florida. 12 is Oklahoma. 13, Tennessee. Clemson, 14. Wisconsin, 15. Nebraska, 16. So Nebraska is still a top. South Carolina, 17. Iowa, 18. Michigan State, 19. Arkansas, 20. Florida State, 21. Yeah, I'm going to stop after that because it's 73 teams here. But yeah, it's at least that top 20 is pretty similar to what the Wall Street Journal came up with. The thing to underscore that, though, when you look at those teams, it's teams that have some kind of TV reach, market value, marketing value. They've got a brand recognition, and from a wins on the field standpoint, is Nebraska relevant right now? No.
But there's value
there, and a conference wants that.
And that's where – and this is why geography doesn't matter. Tradition doesn't matter. History doesn't matter. The only thing that matters now is dollars and cents.
Fit does not matter.
It doesn't. Now, The Athletic, and I'm trying to find it, Nicole Auerbach had it, and she talked about – a book that
I can already hear people booing as soon as you say her name.
I get it, but it was actually a really good article. I was trying to find it. The SEC commissioner talked about a year and a half ago, and she said
this was Sankey.
Yeah, Sankey, and it was about how the English Premier League formed, how they went from these small little things, and like 20 teams gathered and formed the super thing that became the richest thing in sports. And he's doing that right now. And it's about staying relevant. It's about power. And even if it's not called the SEC, and you could say, you know what? College football could take this model. You could take the top 20, top 32, and if you're at the bottom of that barrel, you get kicked out, and the two at the next level get to come back in. I mean, there's so many possibilities here. And now the NCAA is talking about, well, maybe we're going to start governing sports different. Maybe football will just be on its own. We'll do something because they're not all created equal. No shit, Sherlock.
They should have figured this out decades ago, which is one of those things where I think anything the NCAA does right now, I mean, it's drops of water in an ocean. They've already missed the bus in my mind. Yeah,
I'm right there with you. I don't disagree. If you want to hear from Dr. Rob during the week, I highly encourage you to follow him on Twitter. That's at Doc Talk Sports. That's at Doc Talk Sports. If you want to follow my cheesy butt, I don't tweet that much because I rather just talk on my radio show or the podcast because you can have longer debate, longer conversation about it. Because I find that 240 character tweets tend to get you in trouble and you can't argue effectively and you get canceled. But you can follow me at Travis Creates. We want to thank Husker Hounds, who sponsors this podcast as well. Scotty got robbed. Do you see that?
No.
Yeah, about $20,000 worth of merchandise was taken from one of his stores. If you did that, you're a coward. And if you're selling that stuff on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist or anything, I hope you get busted. And I hope you go to jail for a long time.
Which, that's the thing. You sell that stuff, it's going to be – I guarantee you, Scotty and whoever he's got in the police department investigating this, a scouring resale site.
So, you know, keep Scotty and Husker Hounds in your thoughts, because nobody, you feel violated when you get robbed like that. You just feel like just creepy and ugly, and it wasn't his fault, but there were some pretty smart guys behind it. But hopefully they get busted. But support Husker Hounds, support Ticket Express. Speaking of Ticket Express, Chad Carr is back with another season. As I go grab another beer, because I know Rob said he was going to have two. Screw that. We're going to drink more beer. Until then, here's Chad Carr from Ticket Express with another season of Ticket Talk. Chad, you're back for another year of Ticket Talk, and we skipped last year because, well, you weren't selling tickets to Husker football games last year because nobody could go to a Husker football game. What was it like to not have a season? What was that like?
That is a great question. One of the things that has been interesting as we're talking to our clients, both buyers and sellers this year, a lot of people have said, God, that must have been pretty tough on you. I'm like, yeah, you think? And so, 95% of our revenue was wiped out kind of in a blink of an eye back in March. Wow. And I kind of tell everybody the same thing now. I cried all my tears, in March and April of 2020, and we're back and ready to kick butt and, buy tickets from people, sell tickets to people. And we're really exciting for the second half of 2021.
So how did your business pivot? I mean, you're not selling tickets to almost anything. What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about your business? And how did your business adapt and pivot?
One of the things that we really learned a lot is that, we had a lot of, kind of unnecessary monthly expenses. And, just to basically protect both our customers and our staff, we made the decision last March to work remote, and we're still doing that. And yes, we go into the office from time to time when we absolutely have to, but we've changed kind of our whole infrastructure around, and we've had some of our former employees working for us part-time in different parts of the country. Basically, we've just switched our phone system over and have really gotten rid of our traditional landline phone system. And so had the pandemic not occurred, I don't think that we would have people working remotely in Ohio and Texas and Arizona, nor do I think that we would have adopted some of the infrastructure that we have. So it kind of, after 28, almost 29 years, it caused us to pause and take a really hard look at things as far as like what we could change as a culture and what we could change as a company.
We're going to be talking all season long, so I'm not going to burn all the questions on this one. I just want you to know it's great to have you along again doing Ticket Talk. I can't wait to talk with you each and every week. I know Rob can't either. And if anybody needs tickets, TicketExpress.com. That's TicketExpress.com. One last thing before we let you go. Right now, yeah. What's the hottest ticket? What's the hottest ticket right now?
It's on the forefront of everybody's mind. It's the biggest concert to come through the state of Nebraska, since 1987. So Garth Brooks is coming to Memorial Stadium. Although they've had a couple of comedy shows, it's the first music concert that they've had at Memorial Stadium since Farm Aid in 1987. And so that's coming up August 14th. And obviously we've got tickets for all the Nebraska home and road games. The other hot thing right now is that Nebraska-Oklahoma ticket down in Norman. And so we have tickets available for that. And we just found out if you want to sit with Husker fans, we have tickets in the Nebraska allocation of tickets.
All right. So, Chad, here's the one question I ask, and this is a total long shot question, but I'm kind of fishing here a little bit just in case. I figure you've got to have some connections in the world in terms of when you think about sports as an event planning kind of thing. With all this conference realignment, do you or your sources get any kind of forewarning about, hey, just so everybody knows, Colorado's going to be joining the Big Ten in 2022, 2023, something like that. Do you hear anything like that through kind of through your grapevines?
Great question. I would say, Rob, on some things, yes, on some things, no. And, you know, that like every once in a while we'll hear something, you know, through one of our donors or season ticket holders that basically are a little bit more in the know as far as like what's going on. But in this day and age of, you know, social media, it's really, really hard to keep a secret. And how they were able to talk about some of these conference realignment things for so long and kind of keep that, keep a lid on it is just simply amazing. So it's simply amazing.
So what you're saying is no.
I mean, like there's so many rumors that, you know, pop up that, you know, it's hard to kind of differentiate what's true and what's not true. And, you know, I know that on the Husker Doc Talk podcast, you guys have been talking about this for, you know, a long time. I just think that nobody saw it coming as fast as it did.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we go on through the season here, stuff changes on that front. If you hear something, you're a source now. So we're going to be relying on you for information. Something comes across your
desk. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm used to people relying on me for tickets, but I don't know as far as information is concerned. I don't know about that.
Good stuff as always, Chad. We can't wait to talk to you the rest of the season. Have a great week, and we'll catch up next week.
Sounds great, guys. Look forward to it.
Always good to hear from Chad, isn't it?
Dude, I like Chad. I swear to God, I think he's going to end up being an inside source of information here, because as he's getting tickets, you can't tell me he's not finding out venue information about where events are going to be played. And when it comes to the sports world and this whole world of realignment, there's going to be stuff filtering down to those guys. And I guarantee you he's going to find stuff out.
I actually had to use Chad this week, and it was hard to find. He got me really hard to find tickets. Sounds weird. There's a music festival over in Des Moines called Hinterland. I think your daughter's gone there.
She is gone.
I was supposed to get my daughter tickets a while back. I forgot to do it. Oh. My daughter's like, hey, I bought camping and parking. Where are my tickets? I'm like, oh, shoot. So I had to call Chad and say,
luckily,
do you have,
you know, a guy?
And I got a reasonable price, got him emailed to me, and he got me into Hinterland, or got my daughter in Hinterland, which is really cool. So if you need tickets, go to TicketExpress.com. You know, Rob, are you surprised, or is it a smart play by Trev Alberts in Nebraska? They've been pretty quiet during all this stuff. They've just kind of laid low. Not much is being said about the realignment and the shuffling.
No, but I think they also have an understanding of where they stand. And I mean, you can't tell me that any good athletic administrator, these numbers that we're talking about, I mean, what did I say? Nebraska's 16th here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16th in the one, I think.
They were 15th in the Wall Street Journal.
Which, if you want a point of comparison, by the way, for Kansas, Iowa State is 40th.
Yeah. Which is a good number for Iowa State if you think about it.
Out of 73, that's not bad. Kansas is...
And this is football only, by the way.
Yeah, this is basically football.
Which, as we're learning, football means everything.
Well, it does. Kansas is 55th.
Wow.
Which they do add a little caveat, like Indiana's 52nd. They add a little caveat at the end of the article where they say, hey, Jayhawks may have more intrinsic value than is being reflected here because of their basketball program, which might also apply to Kentucky, North Carolina, Louisville, Indiana, and Duke. Because like Duke is 66th. So this is actually what will be kind of interesting when – it comes time for, or if it comes to the ACC breaking up, who goes where and who actually gets taken, because North Carolina's 38th, Duke is 66th. Could you have a team like North Carolina that gets added to a super conference and Duke does not?
Hey, you want to hear a good story?
I love because
I'm starting to buzz right now. So it's and you'll
two beers, people. Two beers.
Yeah, but yeah, they're sours and they're good. And by the way,
I'll tell you what, within the realm of sours, because normally for me that's a sipping beer.
Yeah.
The Serendipities from New Glarus go down smooth.
And I went in and grabbed an expensive bottle. The next bottle we're going to have is about a $22 bottle. It comes in like a wine bottle.
Travis loves me.
I do. I love Dr. Rob. I think everybody will get a kick out of this. So if you don't know, my oldest daughter, Abigail, works at Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi. And she is... she runs the marketing department for the student housing at Ole Miss. So she's an assistant director of student housing in charge of marketing. Does that make sense? So she gets a phone call from the football team, says, "Hey, we need you to do a tour on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Can you be there to do it?" Because she does this all the time. So tennis calls her, baseball calls her, football calls her. So she gets there and she's got the assistants there because I go, "Have you ever met Lane Kiffin?" She goes, "Lane doesn't come to this stuff. It's not worth his time." I go, "I get it. You know, you're just showing somebody a dorm and stuff." So she gets there, and the coaches are there, and the family comes, and she's just starting up small talk, and she's like, "Welcome to Ole Miss. We're going to go into this dorm. We're going to show you kind of everything goes on." She goes, "You know, where are you from?" And they're like, "New Orleans." And so she's like, "Oh, I went to Loyola." So they just start talking about Loyola and everything, right? Well, guess who walks in the door? Lane Kiffin walks in the door. She's like, "Oh, my God, Lane Kiffin is here. I've never met Lane Kiffin. He's never come on here." And then it realized on her. She's giving Arch Manning the tour of his dorm. It's Cooper and Arch Manning.
That is awesome.
So she's like, "Oh, my God, you're Arch Manning, the number one recruit of the 2023. You're Cooper Manning, Peyton's brother, who went to school here."
Oh my God, that is awesome.
She had zero clue
who these guys were initially.
No. And I go, "Were they offended they didn't know?" They go, "No, they were as gracious as ever. They were like, we talked about New Orleans. I think they kind of liked that I didn't know who they were." But she learned real quick once Lane Kiffin showed up, and she's like, "Oh,
these are big name recruits." These are big names.
Yes, this is a big deal. So I will say,
I've met Cooper. I think
he's about your age, isn't he?
Yeah. No. Wait a second. Yeah. So he's actually older than Peyton.
Because he's got the bad back. He had to quit.
The cervical spinal stenosis. So, yeah, I think he's the oldest, or he's at least the oldest of the boys. I've met Cooper and I've met Archie a couple of times, which if you've met Archie Manning, you've probably met everybody in the family because, like, they're all clones. They might be the nicest human beings on the planet. Incredibly laid back, very gracious people. So, anyway, there you go.
But I thought you would appreciate that story.
I'm a Manning family fan for the fact that I've met Archie, but that is a great story.
So if you're wondering, my wife and my daughters don't give a shit about sports at all. All right. So that's why she's given that tour. And then it just dawned on her, "Oh, I know who you are now." Because, I mean, it's hard not to know. Well, because you drive it anywhere.
Your brother's the guy who did the really funny Saturday Night Live skit and does the Omaha commercials.
Because if you've ever been to Oxford, Mississippi, which is a beautiful town. My wife and daughter are there right now. The Archie Manning Way is all the way through campus. I mean, it's huge, right? What are we drinking here? We just pulled out another beer. What are we drinking?
Well, you're the one who pulled it out.
I literally just pulled something out of the fridge. I didn't even look to see what it was.
So this would be your... Oh, man, my cousin Columbus is going to kill me on this one. Brewery Tarot. It's out of Orange County, California.
Ooh,
Placentia,
really?
California.
I think it's a sour, too, isn't it?
It is a Berlin-style tart wheat beer aged in oak. I'm sure this means barrels, but it's F-O-E-D-E-R, Foeders.
Okay.
With peaches.
And what year is it? Does it say?
I'm thinking 2017.
Oh, shit. So this is... five-year-old beer.
Yeah, which actually it is kind of interesting because for whatever it's worth, I did read the label.
Yeah.
They do say all of our beers are crafted to be enjoyed fresh.
Oh, really?
Watch this. It's not a real. It is not a high alcohol by volume beer by any means.
Good.
It's less than 5%.
Okay.
I bet you've had this thing sitting here fermenting for 4 or 5 years now. I bet this puppy's up to like 9%. We're going to each have one glass and be smoked.
Oh, man. But, you know, I don't mind
being smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're recording on a Saturday night now. Is your wife? Because my wife's gone. I'm batching it this weekend.
Nah, everybody in the family except me and my youngest daughter up at camp that I was picking up had to work today, so they're all getting off work roughly about right now. So
we were talking about Nebraska being silent, not saying much, because they don't have to.
No, I don't think there's anything to be gained at this point by saying anything. I mean, my assumption is that at the point where they're at, and this goes for pretty much all of the Big Ten teams except Ohio State, if Michigan can somehow ride Ohio State's coattails, great. But they're an absolute rider of coattails here when it comes to the whole conference realignment picture. Outside of that, I think the Big Ten is going to be relatively safe. I think they're in a position where they can kind of hold things together where a lot of other conferences could not.
It's funny because we talked about this on my radio show. And if you want to download the iHeartRadio app, you can do so and listen to just search for KXNO. And I'm on every day from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. But we talked about this, and that is what makes the SEC so great. Let's say Alabama said it was leaving the SEC. Would that bury the SEC?
Would not bury it, but, I mean, right now it's a nice team.
I get it, but what I'm saying is it's pretty spread even. When you look at LSU, Georgia, Auburn, Florida, now Texas, I mean, you take one of those schools out, even two – it would survive. If Michigan and Ohio State lead the Big Ten, can the Big Ten survive?
Gets tough.
It does.
I mean, it's honestly, if you look at...
If Florida State and Clemson lead the ACC, can the ACC survive?
No. As a basketball conference, yeah. Maybe. That's about it. I mean, it's kind of like the Big 12. I mean, in terms of having any kind of bargaining power for TV contracts, you lose so much with some of these teams leaving. I mean, the Big 12 just gets gutted by losing Oklahoma and Texas.
And the Pac-12, I mean, really, if USC, UCLA leave the Pac-12.
I don't see the thing is there, though, that's almost the opposite. They're like the photo negative of the SEC. If one or two top teams leave, it doesn't matter because I'm not sure anybody gives a rat's ass anyway. Now I say that you want those teams. The Big Ten, I think, ultimately wants those West Coast teams to pull in that TV market. But I don't think losing those teams if you're talking about taking 5 or 6 teams away, that destroys the conference. Let's say the Big Ten comes in and says, okay, we're taking just USC and Oregon. I think the Pac-12 survives that.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. I could see that. I guess the whole thing is, where do the rest of these Big 12 schools end? And listen, say what you want about the Big Ten, and people have ripped Nebraska. I'll give Nebraska credit here. Tom Osborne was a visionary. He knew back in 2010 – you better get out or it's going to end bad. Because if Nebraska was still in the Big 12 and this was happening, it'd be going, where are we going to end up?
It is, but I even think at that point in time, a lot of this move was being made administratively.
Because of Texas. People.
Well, no, I mean, one was Texas. I mean, that's a big part of it. The other thing is I think at some point there had to have been some discussion on the academic and administrative side that I think first kind of raised the interest. And it was sort of one of those, hey, if you guys join the Big Ten, here's what's in it for you monetarily from an academic and administrative standpoint. God, now I'm blanking on who wrote the article, but they said they looked at essentially what the dollar amounts were for the move for Nebraska athletically versus academically. And Nebraska's payout from the Big Ten Conference athletically was, what, like $54 million?
This past year.
Yeah, so low $50 million range. In terms of total grants and aids, it's kind of like those SEC or the Big 12 numbers of viewership when you talk about number of people watching. It's that kind of discrepancy where it's tens of millions of dollars athletically and it's hundreds of millions of dollars academically and administratively for Nebraska to make that jump to the Big Ten. And that people brush that off, and they shouldn't. It's why anytime there was any talk prior to 2 weeks ago of, hey, maybe Nebraska, you know what, screw the Big Ten. Let's get away from Ohio State. We hate Michael Wilbon. Let's go back to the Big 12 where we're a better fit. The reason that was never, ever, ever going to remotely happen had nothing to do with athletics. It was because of the academic money that Nebraska gets by being a member of the Big Ten Conference. That gets discounted hugely when you look at the dollars that are available for these schools, and that might counter when you look at what the SEC has to offer. That might counter a lot for the Big Ten as they go out and look at, hey, here's some schools we're going to add to expand. Academically and administratively, we're going to be able to completely shore up so many of your budgets on that end of it that schools aren't going to be able to say no. Nebraska could not say no. And I remember at the time this happened, you can say it was a great move by Osborne. Pelini hated it. He did not want to make that jump.
But why do you say yes? Because of the money.
The money.
The money.
But the money was big on the athletic side. It was off the charts on the academic and administrative side. It was one of the few times in university politics that academics was the tail wagging the athletic dog.
So 5 weeks from the day we are recording, this is Saturday the 31st, 5 weeks from today, football season starts. So yesterday, which was the 29th, practice started. No media access on Friday, no media access today on Saturday, no media access on Sunday. So we really won't know what's going on. First time we're going to hear from coaches will be the defensive coaches and players on Monday. And there's very limited. You're not going to hear from Coach Frost until next Friday. So,
and let's be honest here. We're not going to know what's going on until they suit up and play Illinois.
True.
It's just Nebraska right now might be one of the most unproven products out there. I think you're going to kind of know what you're going to get from Iowa first day when they show up.
Well, yes and no. I mean, they lost some really good D-line. I mean, that's going to be and is Spencer Petras going to be he's kind of like Martinez, right? I mean, Martinez is great as a freshman. Everybody thought, you know, the future is bright. They didn't think that about Spencer Petras. So I think there's some quarterback issues there.
But it's one of those things. I don't think he's a known quantity. He's definitely you know what you're getting.
True.
With Martinez, I got no idea what's going to show up.
But I think he's going to be better this year.
Petras or Martinez?
Martinez. And let me, because I think there's a lot less pressure on him now that a McCaffrey. There's nobody breathe. There's not that somebody breathe.
Smothers.
Is he breathing down his neck? I think let him be Adrian Martinez.
Here's my problem. I have not yet seen in what my opinion is a completely recovered throwing shoulder from Martinez. And that's a 2-year-old injury at this point.
Yeah.
So I kind of worry about that. I mean, maybe he's got the run game down better, but I don't see him. I still worry about Nebraska being able to push the ball downfield. They get all these wide receivers. I don't know if they can get the ball to him. And so that's something I definitely worry about. So I think with a guy like Petras, I don't think he's going to come out and be the all Big Ten quarterback, but I think you're going to have a guy who is going to show up and be kind of the same product he had last year, which was I mean, by Iowa standards, pretty solid. And he's a guy that's going to be able to kind of get you through the season. I think they're going to have to rely on a bread-and-butter run game, tight end play, and a defense that, for the most part, spends most years, year in and year out, kind of just rebuilding and reloading with a bunch of no-names that magically become Big Ten defensive players of the year.
So if you're wondering, yes, unless something major happens, we're going to start talking a lot more football building up to that that season opener for Nebraska. So just so much stuff has happened in college football over the last week and a half. It's been absolutely crazy. What do you think of this beer? I think it's pretty good. It's
not my fave.
Really? Is it because you went from the Serendipity to this, or is
that might be that Serendipity is pretty freaking good?
Yeah, this probably would have been a good starter, and then go to the Serendipity. Yeah,
I want more of something. I need more of that alcohol burn, or I need more. I need more sour.
This almost tastes, well, they said it's oak barrels. It almost tastes like a kettle sour more than an oak barrel sour.
Yeah, it really kind of does. It's not, I'm kind of surprised. Maybe that Loaders thing or whatever, Loaders.
So
maybe that's actually German for kettle.
We don't have a beer sponsor yet. So if there is a beer brewery out there wants to sponsor the Doc Talk podcast, we'll be happy to listen to you. A couple stipulations. We get free beer because you have to give us beer, and we want to drink your beer every week. But I kind of like rotating it again. I kind of like
a little change up's always
good. Yeah, good.
We can rotate it. We'll always talk about a beer sponsor.
Yeah, that's true. And if you have suggestions for us, we'll be happy to take your suggestions.
Cross Strain has nice variety. I can lean on that.
I know you don't like drinking those Iowa beers, but I was down in Glenwood today, and Keg Creek Brewing. Have you ever heard? They have a good apricot. Maybe next time I'm down there, I'll pick some up for you.
What were you doing in Glenwood?
I was buying a car for my daughter Mary.
Nice.
At Barrett Auto Center. If you guys want great used cars, go to Barrett Auto Center. Ask for my buddy Scott Barrett, or ask for my buddy Chris Smith. I'm telling you, and we're not talking like a buy here, pay here place. It's a really nice lot down in Glenwood. They got great cars, good inventory right now. But check it out, because they're good people, and they're so easy to do business with. It's amazing. So, well, you saw the car that I got my daughter, Mary.
I did a
2001 Nissan Xterra. Now you're going, you just bought a 20-year-old car. I did. It only has 160,000 miles
on
it.
That's nothing.
And it's like 8,000 miles a year. I had to put a little money in repairs. But
yeah, I want to know what little old lady was driving that to and from church.
Now, you'll be impressed with this, because my daughter's 19. She's going to take this down to New Orleans. It's 5-speed on the floor.
See, I love that.
See, how many kids can drive a 5-speed today?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
How many crooks can steal a car with
zero
manual transmission?
Zero. It's funny. Do you think, I wonder if I put, let's just, not even crooks, but let's say we went to your average high school and in Omaha, put a kid in there. Could they even get the engine to turn over?
I think 1%. Well, they wouldn't know to press in on the clutch.
Yeah.
God, I drove a stick all through high school. I can't even talk now. Maybe this stuff has more alcohol in it than I thought. I drove a stick all through high school. There we go.
Because sticks are fun to drive.
Yeah, they really are.
And my daughter, so her high school car was a stick. It was a Fiat 500. And I said, hey, I don't want you driving the Fiat in New Orleans because there's too many potholes. You'll pop tires. So she goes.
You got the Xterra. It's like a survivalist car. So when the hurricane hits, you can get out of town.
But she's like, I don't want a car unless it's a stick. And I'm like, she's a daughter after my own heart.
Oh, so she's used to it now.
Yeah, she doesn't want anything else but a stick. But that's going to be a problem as she gets older, because the newer car, I don't even know if you can buy a car with a stick
you
anymore.
You can, but I mean, it's a special order now.
Yeah. Yeah, I need a 5-speed on the floor, please.
I know you get kind of some of the Detroit muscle cars, because I think they make the Explorer with a stick, and I thought one of the Challengers.
The Challenger, I think, does too, yeah. Yeah. So, but we'll be talking a lot of football. If you have beer suggestions, we love beer suggestions, so please give them to us, because we'll go out and buy it, and we'll go out and drink that beer. Or if you want to be like Rob's buddy in Pennsylvania and just send us beer, we'll take that too.
Well, he likes smoking the bandit at that stuff to us. So.
Or if you go on a road trip, pick it like Steve Swanstrom does, He brings it back from Wisconsin, so it's all good. Hey, if you like this podcast, give it a like. We'd even appreciate if you gave it a review. Make sure to follow Dr. Rob on Twitter at DocTalkSports. At Doc Talk Sports. Big thanks to Chad Carr for joining us today for Ticket Talk. You're going to hear from Chad all season long. Remember, for your tickets, go to TicketExpress.com. Until next week, I'm Travis Justice. He's Dr. Rob Zadica. This is the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. We'll talk to you next week.